up to the roosters. Eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go do overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's a great morning. Indeed, it's a great morning. It's a great morning. I hope y'all are doing well on this Tuesday morning, the last Tuesday of November. And today is actually Giving Tuesday. So let me just pause right here and encourage you, give monetarily today to some nonprofit organization, some small business, to a church, or you can definitely give to James Earl Cray Scholarship Fund, a scholarship fund that looks to benefit primarily rural area high school seniors that will become college freshmen, and also looks to benefit some students that are currently in college. And you can give through Cash App right now today on this Giving Tuesday. The Cash App is the $ JEC Scholarship Fund, all one word. So make sure you give today. But let's talk about this. I'm excited, elated, and enthusiastic today. One, because today is the day that the Lord has made, and the Bible tells us to rejoice and be glad in it. But I'm also excited, not equal to the first one, but a second close, because this is our 33rd episode of Great Mornings Podcast. Can we pause and park right there, put a quarter in the meter, and let's celebrate. Ooh, yeah, let's go. 33rd episode of Great Mornings Podcast. Y'all, I'm excited about that. And then thirdly, I'm just excited to be alive. So y'all should be as equally as excited as me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is our 33rd episode of Great Mornings Podcast. And if you're listening to this, that suggests that you are above ground. So you too should be excited. I have some stuff to talk to us about today. I want to talk to us today about holding back. So I want to title this episode, Stop Holding Back. Most of you already know how I am. Before I dive into something, I typically try to find a way, the way, or some way to define what I'm talking about. So I always look at a lot of definitions. And to my surprise, I didn't realize the two-worded phrase holding back was actually defined. And it's defined as two things. Holding back is defined as to stop or hesitate to act or speak. So to break that down simply, anytime you're hesitant about acting or hesitant about speaking, that's holding back. But holding back is also professionally defined as preventing or restricting the process or development of someone or something. So in simple terms, breaking it down a little bit farther, if you are preventing or restricting the process or development or in someone, which could be yourself or someone else or something, that's holding back or holding it back. All of this in simple terms. Holding back is when you are prevented from going where God wants you to go. Did y'all get that? Holding back, simple terms. This is how we're going to define it overall. Simply put, holding back is when you are prevented from going where God wants you to go. Now, let me take this a step farther and ensure every one of you that's listening, God has a direction and destination. Hear this, for all of us. There is no question about it. There is no doubt about it. God has a direction and destination for all of us. Here's my scriptural reference to assure or secure that thought. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says this, "I alone know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for." Listen to this. Now, this is the scriptural reference for my college students that are listening, my college graduates. This is the reference or the source that secures the idea that God has a direction and destination for all of us. Jeremiah 29 and 11. This is the Good News translation. "I alone know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for." That's the scriptural reference. That's the source that secures the idea that God has a direction and destination for all of us. This whole thought, idea, if you will, that God has a direction and destination for all of us makes me think scripturally about the Israelites. Those of you that are Bible thumpers, you're going to know this story right off top. It's in the book of Exodus. Those that may not, walk with me here and let me see if I can explain it. So the Israelites have been in captivity after the book of Genesis ends. Exodus opens up informing us that there is a new king or a new Pharaoh, a king of Pharaoh that did not know or connect with the previous king of Pharaoh. That's a whole nother message right there. And because the new king of Pharaoh had no connection to the previous king of Pharaoh, king or Pharaoh, this new dude, if you will, treated the Israelites horribly. They were oppressed. They were enslaved. Sounds familiar? We'll talk about that at another time. So the Israelites, in this slavery, in this oppression, God opens up an avenue of liberation, freedom, and breakthrough by sending them a leader named Moses. Moses becomes the liberator and goes. Some of y'all that's old school churchy, y'all know the saying, "Pharaoh, let my people go." Moses goes and brings the Israelites out of bondage and captivity and enslavement and brings them to God's direction of freedom and liberation from, here it is, their past and their problems. So God's direction for the Israelites was freedom and liberation from their past and their problems. And their destination was a physical location called Canaan. So I want to wrap this all together. The Israelites were given a leader named Moses by God. The direction God had for them was freedom and liberation from their past and their problems. And their destination was a physical location called Canaan that flowed with milk and honey. But here it is. But they got held back. Their journey from their past and their problems was supposed to be 3 days to get to the destination of a physical location called Canaan. It was only supposed to take them 3 days to get there. End up taking them 40 years because they got held back. They got held up. Why? Because of fear of the unknown, rebellion against their leader, and ignorance to their provision. They were so afraid of what was in front of them that they could not see, that they started telling Moses, take us back to where we were enslaved. Take us back to the bondage. Take us back to the captivity. At least there we have food and we had a place to lay our head. They got held back or held up because of the fear of the unknown. They got held back because of rebellion against their leader. They started talking against Moses, talking behind his back. It held them back. And they got held back because they were ignorant to their provision. They could not even see that God was pouring down honey buns from heaven. Well, the Bible says manna. God was making water come out of rocks. God was splitting the Red Sea, the largest body of water, and giving them an avenue to get through. They were ignorant to their own provision. This held them back. Why is that relevant? Because many of us fall in this same category as the Israelites. And this is not a sermon. We're going to get to the meat of the content in just a second. But I talked about this at True Vine Bible Fellowship in our series that we just ended on Sunday on movement. I gave us 6 roadblocks on God's journey of movement in our lives. 6 potential roadblocks. If you hear it like this today, these are 6 potential things that could hold you back. Familiarity, complacency, self-intoxication or spiritual arrogance, unforgiveness, exposure, and poor perspective. I told the church, congregation, those listening, those in tune, I told them that these were 6 potential things that could stop God's progression in your life or hold you back. Here's some areas though, because I don't want to get too far ahead. I want to make sure you know of 3 areas. There are many more, but 3 areas that you can be held back professionally. A lot of us get held back professionally, or we hold back professionally, whether that be in career, holding back, changing jobs, addressing your needs on the job, the pay increase you need, the respect you desire, or addressing your need for time off. A lot of us hold back professionally in our career. A lot of us hold back professionally with entrepreneur ventures. You hold back from starting the business or get held back from starting the business. You hold back marketing your product. You hold back getting a location, a physical building, a brick and mortar space for your business. A lot of us hold back or get held back professionally from going to school, the military, giving it your all, giving it your best. A lot of us hold back in ministry, whatever that looks like. So the first area that a lot of us hold back or get held back is professionally. That's career, changing your job, addressing your needs, entrepreneur venture, starting a business, marketing the product, getting a brick and mortar location, going to school, the military, giving it your best, ministry, professionally. Here's a second category. A lot of us hold back romantically or get held back romantically. We hold back romantically by placing walls of protection up. Did you know or do you realize that walls of protection comes from fear? Here's the truth about relationships. They are all risky. I don't care how great it's been, how phenomenal you think it is. All relationships are risky. But one way we hold back romantically is we put up walls trying to protect ourselves. We hold back romantically loving again. If you've been burned in a previous relationship, burned in your current relationship, a lot of us are, here's the definition, hesitant to progress or develop loving again. A lot of us romantically hold back giving ourselves. Relationships, again, are risky. It's about sacrifice. It's about compromise. It's about being willing to give yourself. I want to say this to somebody, and I'm not going to talk about romantic relationships a whole lot, but I want to say this to somebody. If you can't give that person yourself, be by yourself. If you're afraid to give yourself to somebody, then be comfortable being with yourself. So romantically, we hold back giving ourselves, and we hold back with unforgiveness. If you have not been able to forgive what happened in your previous relationship, whether that's forgiving yourself or forgiving them, you don't need to move on to a new relationship. If you can't forgive within the relationship you're in, you're romantically holding back. So romantically, we hold back by placing up walls, trying to protect ourselves. We hold back romantically loving again. We hold not loving again. We hold back romantically not giving yourself to whomever. We hold back romantically with unforgiveness. So the second category or area we hold back romantically. The third area that we hold back is spiritually. A lot of us are holding back spiritually right now because you know you need to join a new church. And you still going to this church that's outdated for you, not for everybody, but outdated for you. And you're holding back your spiritual growth, your spiritual progression, your spiritual development, because you're staying in a place where you know you need something new. We hold back that way. We hold back studying other faiths. Listen to this and hear me good. For those that are Protestant Christian faith, of the Protestant Christian faith, shall I say. Do you realize that every other practice of faith, that's very broad and very definitive, right? So let me say, there are a lot of other faiths that thoroughly study our Protestant Christian faith. Because here is the reality, that a lot of Christians won't, I can't say that. Here's the reality that a lot of us don't know. Studying other faiths actually strengthens your faith. Ooh, that is tweetable. That is Facebookable. That is Instagrammable. Studying other faiths strengthens your faith. Or don't let me be so definitive. Has the ability or potential to strengthen your faith. Because it helps you know what you're up against. It helps you know what others believe. It helps you not have, remember one of the roadblocks I said earlier? The last one, the sixth and final roadblock was poor perspective. Well, studying other faiths helps you to not have poor perspective. Because I told them that poor perspective was having only one perspective. Anytime you have only one perspective, you limit the full perspective. So studying other faiths gives you other perspectives, which has the potential to actually strengthen your faith. So we hold back spiritually when we don't study other faiths. We hold back spiritually not trusting the God in our leaders. If you're going to go to a church and submit to a leader, you're going to have to trust the God in that leader. Through their flaws, through their shortcomings, through their issues. Now, we know there's some moral failures I'm not telling you to stay connected to. But if you are serving under a leader and you submitted to a leader, or better yet, let me say it like this. Wherever you are right now, God sent you there. I feel like preaching, but I'm not. Wherever you are right now, the church you're visiting, the church that you feel in your spirit that you need to be a part of, the church that you serve at, God sent you there. You might have felt like you chose and selected, but let's go back to Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you prosperity and not disaster, plans to give you a future that you hope for. That was the verse that was our source, that God has a direction and destination for all of us. So where you go to church at was God's destination for you. So you have to trust the God in the leader that God submitted you to. But a lot of us hold back spiritually because we don't trust the God in the leaders. So those are some areas. And those are some spaces and some categories, if you will, that we hold back in. So I want to do a quick recap so that we can jump into these six things that potentially hold us back that I want to talk about. So remember, holding back by definition is to stop or hesitate to act or speak, is to prevent or restrict the progression or development of someone or something. Y'all got that? In simple terms, we said holding back is when you are prevented from going where God wants you to go because God has a direction and destination for all of us, supported by Jeremiah 29 and 11. I alone know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bring you prosperity, not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Remember the Israelites. God sent Moses to give them direction of freedom and liberation from their past and the problems. And their destination was a physical location called Canaan, where milk and honey flowed. They got held back from 3-day journey to 40 years because of the fear of the unknown, rebellion against their leader, and ignorance to their provision. And we said, or I told y'all rather, about these 6 roadblocks on God's journey of movement in our lives, or 6 potential roadblocks: familiarity, complacency, self-intoxication or spiritual arrogance, unforgiveness, exposure, and poor perspective. And then, recapping, I gave y'all 3 categories in which we hold back: professionally, career, entrepreneur venture, starting the business, marketing your business, getting a location, going back to school, military, not giving it your best, and ministry. Also, I said we hold back romantically, placing up walls to protect yourself. That's a form of fear. Relationships are risky. We hold back romantically when not loving again, when not giving yourself, with unforgiveness. And then finally, in the recap, I said we hold back spiritually when we know we should be joining a new church and we don't, when we fail to study other faiths, and when we don't trust in the God, in the leader that we're submitted to. That's our recap. Y'all got it? Are y'all ready for this? Mm-hmm. Y'all hear that top twist? You already know. Ascension time. So here's what I got. I want to talk about, really quickly, 6 things that hold us back. 6 things that hold us back. Here's number 1. Following someone else's definition, I got, of success, but I just want to pause it right there. Following someone else's definition causes you to either hold back or it holds you back. What does that really mean? A lot of us have allowed the definitions of others to become the definition for us. Let's just use success since I got it here. When you allow someone else's definition of what success is to drive your life, you now strive for their definition of success and not your own, which can cause you to hold back or can hold you back. My cousin, Valerie Dibble, is married to Tim Dibble. And when I was transitioning from working as an admissions counselor and an adjunct professor at Troy University, going to seminary school, I moved from Troy, Alabama to the metro Atlanta area. And for 3 years of my life, I lived upstairs in my cousin Valerie's house. I'm so grateful for Val and Tim and Madison, that's their daughter, allowing me to take 3 years living with them. No rent, no expenses, just unbelievable. And I can't wait till God blesses me that I can bless them monetarily one day, which I'm going to do. But to the point, I will never forget this. Tim is a very, very intelligent dude, very wise dude. And Tim said to me one day, he said, Earl, that's what they call me. Well, that's my name. It's my middle name, James Earl Cray. All right. So Earl is what they call me. He was like, Earl, success is how you define it. Sounds very simple. But then he followed and he said, if living in a one bedroom apartment, riding a bicycle to work every day is your definition of success, then that is success. What am I saying to all of us? You have to define things in your life. You have to define what success in career looks like. Don't let society's definition of success be your definition, because society might say that the definition of success in career is making $250,000 a year. So now if you let that be your definition of success and you don't make $250,000 a year, now you consider yourself not successful, and now you are held back, or the fear of that causes you to hold back. Now you hold back from giving your best in an area. Now you hold back from progressing in an area. Now you hold back from going to a different location, a different job, applying for other places, because you've allowed society to tell you, well, stay on that job and work there for 30 years. Don't you dare not stay there and work for 30 years. 30 years on the job, getting your retirement and your pension, that's success. Says who? Who determines that success? You determine what success is for you. So the first thing that causes us to hold back, or that holds us back, is following someone else's definition of success. Relationships. You and the person you're with, the two of you, I was about to say y'all, I'm trying not to sound so country all the time, but country is who I am. So y'all determine what success is for your relationship. Yes, I encourage you to read literature, read books, listen to podcasts, hear other people's perspectives. Absolutely. But at the end of the night, y'all like that? See how I played on words? Typically, we say at the end of the day. But at the end of the night, you and your person are the ones that define success in your romance. Your spiritual journey. Nobody else defines your success spiritually. This is a reason why we hold back romantically, because we allow other people to determine what our success is or define our success. This is why we hold back spiritually. This is why we hold back professionally, because we allow someone else to define what success is. So number one, the first thing that causes us to hold back or causes us to be held back is following someone else's definition of success. Number two, what causes us to hold back or causes us to be held back is not knowing who you truly are. Here's a question. Who are you? Here's another question. What do you like? Here's another question. What do you think about you? That's three questions. Who are you? I want you to answer that today. Write it down in a notebook. Write it down in your notes in your phone. Who are you? What do you like? And what do you think, or what do you like about you? Listen to this, family. Without understanding what's going on inside your own mind, you become a victim of what I like to call wiring. What does that mean? That means you've allowed family origin, history, previous relationships, what you've been told, you allow that stuff to wire you. And now you become a you version based off of your family origin, based off of your past experiences, and based off what you've been told. But you gotta ask yourself the question, who do I think that I am? What do I like? What do I like about myself? Not what other people told me I should like, not who other people told me I should be, not what other people told me was nice about me, but who do I know that I am? What do I like? What do I like about me? Because if you don't gain that understanding in your own mind, you become a victim of what I call wiring. You become wired by every other perspective. And those that wire you, or what wires you rather, will be the driving force behind the decisions you make in your life. Good gracious, that felt heavy. If you're wired by family origin, wired by what people say about you or think about you or tell you that you are, wired only by past experiences, now those things, family origin, you only make decisions based off of nobody else in my family ever did this, or this is what we do in my family. That becomes the driving force behind your decisions. Or if you only know yourself based on your past experiences, now the jacked up relationship you was in is your driving force in your next relationship. Or even the good things that happened in the previous relationship now become the driving force in your new relationship. If you're only driven by past experiences, that creates a whole nother level of fear. Now you're afraid, here it is, or you hold back from giving your all, giving your best, moving forward, because your driving force is your past experiences. Or if you're only wired, or if you're wired by only what people tell you that you are, now you make decisions based on what they said about you. That shouldn't be the case, because you'll end up acting in a way that isn't in line with the person God made you. So the second thing that causes us to hold back, or that could be holding us back, is not knowing who you truly are. Who are you? What do you like? What do you like about yourself? If you don't have an understanding of who you are or what's going on inside your own mind, you become a victim of wiring from your family origin, from your past experiences, from what people told you or who people told you were. And that becomes a driving force of your decisions. And then that leaves you in a place where you're acting in a way that isn't in alignment with the person God called you, made you, or wants you to be. So the second thing that holds us back or causes us to hold back is not knowing who you truly are. The third thing that holds us back or causes us to hold back is adhering to outdated systems. Ooh. Adhering to outdated systems can cause you to hold back or be held back. I call this phrase, I'm about to give you, I actually borrowed it from Craig Rochelle. So for those that are leaders at True Vine Bible Fellowship and those that are leaders at Impact Church of Hazelhurst, you've heard this, but act like you didn't, because we want our other listeners to be surprised. Craig Rochelle says, a good system can make an average leader look great, but a bad system can make a great leader look average. I call this the Brett Favre, Steve Young complex. And I explained this to both leadership teams at True Vine Bible Fellowship and to Impact Church of Hazelhurst. Brett Favre is arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Steve Young is arguably one of the top 20 greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Brett Favre retired from the Green Bay Packers as a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Super Bowl champion. Steve Young retired from the San Francisco 49ers as a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Super Bowl champion. Both of them were in great systems. Brett Favre was in a great system in Green Bay. Steve Young was a part of a great system in San Francisco. The systems made them who were average quarterbacks when they were drafted become great quarterbacks. Now, Brett Favre was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. He was horrible with the Falcons. The system wasn't good then. Steve Young was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Horrible system at the time. If they would have stayed in those systems, we would have never saw the greatness of these two quarterbacks. So I call this the Brett Favre, Steve Young complex, because you can take a good system and it'll make an average leader look great. But a bad system will make a great leader look average. Here's the third thing that causes us to hold back or can have us or make us be held back is adhering to outdated systems. Here's an outdated system. You need to go to college to be successful. As much as I'm an advocate for college, the reality is that's an outdated thought as well as an outdated system. You do not have to go to college or get a college degree to be successful. I encourage college, but that's an outdated system. Listen to this one. Making good money is more important than how you're treated or how the job makes you feel. That's an outdated system. We used to be told, as long as you're making good money, you better stick on that job. But no, I'm declaring today, your mental health, your peace of mind, your dignity is more important than how much that job is paying you. Because if we practice good stewardship, that's a whole nother story. You don't have to worry about how much you make as the number one priority. But your mental health is important. Because what's the point in making six figures, but you aggravated, frustrated, go home from work every day, lay down, take your aspirin, and you can't spend the money? Huh? What's the benefit of that? Who wants to be making $1 million but can't spend it because your mind jacked up? No one. That's an outdated system. But there are a lot of us, and there are a lot more outdated systems. There are a lot more outdated systems that a lot of us live by. And these outdated systems cause us to hold back. You can't even venture out and have a desire or venture out and explore, is the word I'm looking for, other opportunities, because you're stuck on the fact, well, if I ain't go to college, I better not apply for that job. And wrong. Apply for the job. Don't adhere to that outdated system. Now you're holding back from the possibility of God, here it is, sending you in the direction and to the destination that God has for you, because you're holding back based on adhering to an outdated system. Well, you know, having this job, little piece of job, is better than having no job at all. At least you make good money over here. I ain't about to look for another job, because at least this job. Oh, I said just money, didn't I? I ain't even think about this. What about the benefits of the job? You focused on the benefit. The benefits are more important to me, man, than how they make me feel. They get on my nerves over there at that job, and they work my nerves a little bit. You know, I have a headache every time I go home, blood pressure up just a little bit, but at least they let me go home early if I need to go home earlier. At least you know, they let me call in. I just text my boss and tell him I ain't coming in. Man, forget that. Just because you got a little benefit, you can leave work early, or you know, you can get off without having to call in, or just because you make a little bit more money. That's not the most, that's an old outdated system that causes us to hold back. Now you don't even venture out to explore other job opportunities because you're holding back, saying, well, you know, if I get that job over there, I won't be able to have as much free time. Man, that's tragic. That's trash. That's adhering to an outdated system, and that holds us back, and that causes us to hold back. Here's the fourth one. The fourth thing that causes us to hold back or be held back is following advice that sounds good but feels wrong. My heavens. Following advice that sounds good but feels wrong. Think about that for not 30 seconds, that's too long. Take 15 seconds, think about that. Following advice that sounds good, but feels wrong. Essential break. Here it is. No matter how much, listen to this, you revere a person, at the end of the night, their advice is simply what worked for them. Did y'all hear that? No matter how much you revere, respect, honor a person, at the end of the night, the advice they give you is simply what worked for them. Listen now, that doesn't mean that it can't work for you. But, ooh, this is going to be good. But I want us to start listening to advice with a critical filter, meaning that you critically assess the advice that is given to you, not just jump on it. Because you got to go with, watch this, what feels right in your gut. Not always the advice that someone else gives you. Because people give advice that sounds good all the time. But you got to go with what feels right with you. Sometimes, depending on our biases, you know, there's some disclaimers in this. Now, please know there's some disclaimers. Some of us have biases. Some of us have selfish ambitions, and I'm not saying follow the biased gut feeling or the selfish gut feeling. I'm saying, you know, when there's advice that sounds good and you normally just jump on it, but it feels wrong. That's what I'm speaking of. You have to listen to advice with a critical filter. And this right here messed me up. How is it that we can listen to everybody else, but we struggle with listening to ourselves? Some of us hold back because somebody gave you advice that sounded good. Well, you know, they made a mistake in y'all relationship. And if I was you, I probably wouldn't, dog. You know what I'm saying? I probably wouldn't even talk to old girl like that no more. But deep down inside, you feel, yes, they made a mistake, but it's a mistake we can work through. Why take the advice of somebody else when you got that gut feeling that we can work through it? Because here it is, going back to relationships. Don't hold back in relationships. Work through stuff because relationships are risky. People will give you advice on about your job. Listen, girl, if I was you, I would just stay on that job. You've been there now for 22 years. You almost at retirement. Just stay right there, girl. If that was me, I would. That's you, sis. But if your gut feeling is telling you I need a break, 22 years has been plenty. Like I'm at my breaking point. Don't stay there until you break because somebody gave you advice that sounds good but feels wrong. That holds us back or causes us to hold back from giving our all. Just because somebody tells you that church ain't for you, the advice might even sound good. It's a bunch of black people over there, so you are white or Hispanic, you don't need to go. It's a bunch of this over there, so you don't need to go. It may sound good, but it probably feels wrong. That holds us back. That causes us to hold back. The fifth thing, oh, this is an easy one. Staying stuck in your comfort zone. I'm going to go ahead and combine these last two. Staying stuck in your comfort zone, not taking action. Those were five and six, but I'm going to make them five together. All right. A lot of us hold back when we get stuck in our comfort zone and we don't take action. A lot of us have a comfort zone called a list of goals. We make list of goals, beautiful lists, vision board parties. We rewrite the plans. We post them on a refrigerator, put them in the notes of our phone. We talk about the list. We visualize the list. We criticize the list. We do everything but act on the list. Because we get stuck in being comfortable. Did you know making a list making goals, setting goals, doing all these things, placing them on the refrigerator, making vision board parties, all of that has the potential to be considered a stuck in the comfort zone. It's easy to do those things, man. It's nothing to sit down right now for you and write down goals. It's nothing for you to sit down right now and make a list of plans. That's nothing. We do that easy. But the struggle is that first step. And here's the truth about your first step. Now, it may be imperfect. It may be absolutely the first step in the wrong direction. But listen to this. It may be imperfect, or as imperfect as the first step may be, at least you made a step of action. That's what I'm saying to us. The fifth and sixth thing together, making number five, that causes us to hold back is we're stuck in our comfort zone. We will not take action because we're stuck in our comfort zone. That holds us back or causes us to hold back. Some of us spiritually won't study another faith because you're stuck in your comfort zone and afraid to take that action. Some of you will never love again because you got hurt and now you're stuck in a place of comfort and you won't take action to be in a great relationship because that's God's direction and destination for you. Family, listen, that's 5/6 things that either causes us to hold back or holds us back. Following someone else's definition of success, not knowing who you truly are, adhering to outdated systems, following advice that sounds good but feels wrong, and staying stuck in your comfort zone, not taking action. And today I'm closing with this encouragement to you. Stop holding back and stop being held back. Today is the day that you have to start taking action steps in your professional career, entrepreneur venture, starting the business, going back to school, in the military, and in ministry. Stop holding back. Stop being held back. Today, romantically, stop holding back. Pull down the walls protecting yourself. That's fear. Relationships are risky. Stop holding back your love and love again. Stop not giving yourself and holding back. Stop holding back with unforgiveness. Don't be held back romantically because you're holding back in these areas. And don't be held back spiritually because you're holding back from joining a new church, from studying other faiths, and from trusting the God in the leader who's been assigned to your life. Don't allow following someone else's definition of success to hold you back. Don't allow adhering to outdated systems to hold you back. Don't allow following advice that sounds good but feels wrong to hold you back. Don't allow not knowing who you truly are to hold you back. And don't allow staying stuck in your comfort zone and not taking action to hold you back. Listen, family, I am done. That is our 33rd episode of Great Mornings Podcast. I appreciate all of you listening. Remember, as I said in the beginning, today is Give Tuesday. Give to a nonprofit organization. Give to a small business today. Give to a church today. Give to JEC Scholarship Fund. Cash App, $JEC Scholarship Fund. Give today is Give Tuesday. Listen, family, that's a wrap for your boy. I am out of here. I am so grateful for every single one of you. I'm so thankful for all of you. Please give a 5-star rating to this podcast episode. Please text and share this episode to somebody. Share it on social media. Let them know to support Great Mornings Podcast. I am so grateful for all of you. Remember, family, no matter what obstacles you face today, no matter how challenging this day might be, stop holding back. Don't be held back. And remember, it's always, always a great day to be great. I love you, every single one of you. Have a phenomenal rest of your day, a phenomenal rest of the week, a phenomenal rest of the month, and a phenomenal rest of the year. I love you and I'm out. Peace.
Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roofing. He tell mountains, get them moving.
It's
a great morning. Wake up,
wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go.